about refugees and that you saw.
When I was in Normandy, there was a long, long line of people who were avoiding the war. And I could see people with packs on their back. Some had, I even remember a boy with his dog and walking along with his dog. People had and his stick on the shoulder with a bundle on the end of that stick. And it was typical of older people and women and children just walking along with all their belongings and dragging them along in a cart and a horse if they had, if they're lucky enough to have that. Where they were going, I have no idea, but the roads were just dusty with people living. And as we're moving through France on convoys, I told you we moved from one place to the other on front lines, and we stayed in the woods constantly. We never were allowed to talk to civilians because everything was so secret. We used to throw rations to the people as we're moving along, and give us the victory sign. Then as we got deeper into Europe, and we were out of rations with special cigarettes and candy, had nothing to throw to them, they would not give us the victory sign. They would give us a thumbs down. And that's what I remember. That was a good lesson I got, because it showed me, and even it shows today, once you give people a lot of money to help their country, to refine, as soon as you have nothing to offer them, you're not so good anymore. And it's a typical lesson I learned.
Did you see, did you go to liberate some of the camps, or?
Oh yes, when I was in the, where was I?
Germany.
Germany specifically. I remember being in France, and I was tired of being in the woods all the time. I saw officers had gone to Paris, and I said, I'm sick of this damn thing. They can go and enjoy themselves, and we're stuck in the woods all the time. I said, I'm going AWOL. And I told one of the, I told one of the men about it, who was an officer, but not, he's an officer, but not the type of military officer. I told him I'm going to AWOL. I said, okay, but just keep it quiet. Don't say anything to anybody. I went with another soldier, and we wound up in Versailles. And I went in the Versailles Guards, and I saw, I went to Paris. I went to Paris, that was it. I stayed there one night, and I saw what was going on. And I came back and I saw Paris. Another time I went to Brussels in Belgium. What was the reason I went there? I'm trying to remember. That was quite an experience. A social experience. I met some girls and I would go to that. Anyway, I remember seeing Brussels. I can't remember why I went there. I think we got a lead. Somehow I got a lead. I was in Brussels and I saw the city, and it was quite an experience that I could tell you about. I don't want to talk about that because it is something that shouldn't go into it. It was interesting. I got an education there.
Sure.
And I went to London before the invasion to do work on secret work. I remember that. And one experience of going to London was that I saw all these different sites. It was secret work. I was there over the weekend. I went to Madame Tussauds. I saw Canterbury Place, all those secret places. But one thing I really was impressed with, despite all the activity there, was I was at Piccadilly Circus.
Mm.
You ever heard of Piccadilly Circus?
Mm-hmm.
It's a hub for all the streets coming into a circle. It's Piccadilly Circus is a circle of a street. That's why it's called circus. And the MPs are chasing all the soldiers away, trying to get them to move away from the sidewalk. They're standing staring at everything. And one soldier moves away from another soldier. There's an empty space there on the curb there. I walk over to this curb between two soldiers. I look to my right, and the other soldier looks to me on his left, and he says, "Hi, Jake." Can you believe that? He was somebody from Lawrenceville.
Incredible.
Another soldier from Lawrenceville, of all places, to meet somebody.
Incredible.
I was going to tell you something else. Oh, about Weimar Germany. I think that was where the war ended. Weimar had some Republic of Germany, Central Republic area. And then we left Weimar, came back to the States, and we were supposed to go overseas to Japan, the Far East. And while I was in South Carolina, I think it was South Carolina, Columbia, South, is that North Carolina or South Carolina? Columbia. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the war ended there. And from there I came home. And that was it. I came back to my Corps of Engineers job, and then I left there and I went on.
So just
that's probably a good, good way to end this session and think about the next one. Thank you.
I thought of becoming a doctor, but I had no money to go to school. I had a hard time getting through engineering school. And I worked with my father fixing up the building he owned. And I figured, well, things were so bad, Depression days, it might be hard to get into school or not enough money to go to school. And a doctor may not even make a living because people couldn't afford to pay him. I figured, well, I'll become an engineer. An engineer can... If he can't get a job, he can work as a laborer. He can get a job somehow. See, there was that kind of thinking persisted because of Depression days. Today, I wouldn't think that way. So I figured that was the most logical thing to do was become an engineer. I could all do work. A doctor could go out and labor like an ordinary workman, and he may starve to death. So that's why, and I was good in math. I knew how to fix things, so I figured I'd become an engineer.
This is, and you were influenced by some teachers in school.
What's that?
You were influenced by some teachers in school. By some teachers in school influenced you.
Oh yeah, I was influenced by my teaching, by the subjects I learned.
Okay, we can further discuss this at another time.
Further discuss? I think we just got a pass, that was it. Because that's how I got to go to Brussels. It was just a gesture in the army to be nice to me and another fellow while we're in the woods, because the officers had an opportunity to go out other places, you know, like Paris. That's why I said, I want to go AWOL. These guys can go to Paris and enjoy themselves while we're stuck in the woods and acting like soldiers. Well, I want to go too. I don't care what happens. So the fellow I had reported to was, he was an officer, but not a strictly a military officer, a different type of officer. And I told him, I said, go ahead. So got a ride to somebody who was going to Paris. So,
let's see.
No, to Versailles. I was standing there. I was cursing the whole army at the time with this other fellow.
What?
This fellow was from, like doggone it, I have it in my letters. Anyway, I'm telling you this story. So I'm there staying there in Versailles, cursing about the French, the whole darn army. You know?
Absolutely. Well, this was the end.
Someone, and they, you know, and I figured I'm standing around a lot of French people, I don't know what I'm talking about. So some well-dressed gentleman walks by, looked like a businessman. He says to us, he says, can I help you soldiers? Perfectly. He was very nice to us. Anyway, while we're standing there, a Jeep comes by. And it was an anti-aircraft Jeep from one of the outfits whose officer I'd been with originally when he landed on an invasion, and I had done some favors for him. So we asked for a ride, so this fellow picked us up and took us over to the outfit he was with, and we saw the manager, the officer in charge, who I knew well. He takes us over to mess hall, the two of us, and said, you treat these two fellows good, no matter what they want, you give it to them. Hey, look, who are these guys?
Yeah.
And then I went to Versailles, our outfit was it our outfit? Yeah, our outfit was in Versailles Gardens. You heard of Versailles Gardens?
Yes.
Beautiful place. I can still remember the garbage cans there.
Really?
Well, after we were through eating, with what we have left over, the remnants we throw into the garbage can.
Okay.
And the local people came in to take food out of the garbage can. That's how hungry they were. Can you believe that? So I tell this to my wife, and she agreed with me. She said she did the same thing. So, see, people here don't appreciate these things.
No.
And I tell stories, well, I'm just making them up. See, that's the idea. That's the attitude they have. How can they believe this stuff? A bunch of garbage, you know. It was garbage.
Literally, yes, absolutely.
But it was food, good food.
See,
you know, scraps.
Maybe I should label this. This talk, this is June 3rd, 1993. I'm Beth Frisch, and this is our second tape with Jacob Weinberg.
Finally made it.
She just had to wake her up.
Oh, no, that was good. That was real
good.
Did
you record what I just said?
I got the garbage cans. Is that okay?
That's
not right. It in too?
I think all works out
okay.
There.
I just got the garbage, I didn't get the Brussels.
You know.
Let's see. We ended up after, about what year was this, the Versailles trip?
I don't remember, it was the summer. You know something? I got a lot of letters. I have to refresh my memory.
Okay.
I'm going to get them.
All right.
You wouldn't believe what I have.
Who are you? Show me. I'll be off the phone. My sister and I might take her to the zoo.
It's nice.
My parents to keep me happy so they wouldn't worry about me. In the meantime, they used to spread my letters around the neighborhood. I didn't know that. And they saved the letter, most of the letters anyway. So you asked me a question.
I think we saw some of that last
Look
time.
Look at this. This is a campsite. And here, Namur, see that's in Belgium somewhere. Repetition. Did I tell you about Ernie Powell? I met him.
No. How did you meet him? Or he would tell
Here's
me about
what happened.
Him?
When we were in Normandy, there was no way. We used to. It's a typical area where we lived. And you know, we're wearing the same uniform all the time. We didn't have any change of clothing. We had to take a bath. She used to take a bath in the helmet.
Really? That was your water basin?
We had a helmet. That was our bath.
I had no
idea. It's hard to believe, isn't it? That's all we had. That went on for weeks. The invasion was in June the 6th. I was there a couple of days after that. And then finally in August, July, August, we finally had an outdoor shower, an impromptu shower, just some crude thing. And here's a little fellow. He was very conspicuous because most of us were in our late teens or 20s, you know. And this fellow looked like he was 40, 50 years old, something like that. To me, he was an old man at the time. And I said to him, "Are you Ernie Powell?" He said, "Yeah." So I asked him for his autograph on a French currency, and he put his name on it. I have it somewhere, I don't know where. And right after that, all the other fellows decided they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So I also wrote an article just after we started moving out of the beachhead in a place called Carentan, and I saw trees that were sheared off by shells, and locomotive had the front just blown apart, just like shredded wheat. And I wrote home about this, and he wrote the same story, the same from the same area. Everybody thought I copied it from him. Mm. Let's hear what his writer. The same thing. Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. He covered the whole war. He was on the front covering the world.
He was on a war. He was killed in the Far East because he was in a Jeep with somebody, and a Japanese wooden bullet hit him, and he died that way.
You say, tell me again. It was July, August of what year that you?
Oh, you want to know the year?
Was it?
That's what I'm looking for. I got so much junk here. I don't know what I have.
We could probably get that later.
All right.
Okay, tell us.
Here's Normandy, France, August 11, 1944, D plus 66. It was 1944.
Okay.
Is that what you want to know?
Yes.
I got it.
We could spend a lot of time talking about the war, and maybe we will go back at some
point. I didn't
talk
about the war. I just mentioned a couple places.
But should we move on to after the war? We had heard a little bit on the last tape.
What happened afterwards?
You said you came back to your Corps of Engineers job.
Oh, is that what you want to know about? Well, I was discharged in South North Carolina, Columbia, mm-hmm. South Carolina or North Carolina? I don't know myself.
I think it's South Carolina.
South Carolina. And then I came back to my job in Pittsburgh. I was a junior engineer with a Corps of Engineers in Pittsburgh.
What did junior engineer
we did,
do?
It was on flood control work in the city of Pittsburgh. That's my outfit. I wasn't there because I went AWOL.
Oh.
That's a fact.
They had to leave your job open during the war? What was, you knew you would go back into
the job? According to the rules the government made, once you left for the Army and came back, the position would be open for you. And they also made this remark, that if someone who worked with you in your same category got promoted, you would come back and have the same job they had. In other words, the promotion.
Okay.
But it never worked that way. The government never kept its word. I could tell a specific story about a fellow named George Weingarten. He came back. He was a captain, in fact. He came back to the same job that I had. But in the meantime, somebody was promoted in his category, you know, working with him. He didn't get that promotion like they promised. You know, everybody mm-hmm. got the same promotion. So he complained very firmly about it. He insisted he get promoted. Well, he finally gave him the promotion. But he was so upset with the government, he quit. So just after he got the promotion.
Mm.
It was a matter of principle with him, you know. George Weingarten. Weingarten, yeah, it was Weingarten, yeah. I'm pretty sure that was the name.
He didn't get the promotion?
He got the promotion. Uh-huh. But he deliberately decided to have that promotion to insist that they keep their word, but once they gave him the promotion, he quit because he had no respect for them anymore. See the point? And that was where it should be. Here's a good first sentence of the letter. Dear Mom and Pa, yesterday was another one of those beautiful sunny days when you like everyone, even your own officers.
Well, it was a good day, though.
So, okay, now I worked for the Corps of Engineers.
Where did you live at the time when you came back?
Where did I live? What do you mean, where did I live?
You in Lawrenceville, in Squirrel Hill. Where did you live when you came back?
Where did I live?
Yes.
Oh, I lived in Squirrel Hill, in 5833 Hobart Street. When I came back, that's a story too. Everything's a story. I wanted to call my mother from New York, like everybody did when I came back. And the lines were busy, so I didn't bother. So when I came back to Pittsburgh, I remember I was hitchhiker. It was the middle of the night. Someone picked me up, and they took me to Squirrel Hill to a record shop. It's a woman I happen to know. They gave me coffee and donuts because I said I knew the woman who owned the baker's shop. It was the middle of the night.
Nice.
And I should have called. I was right around the corner from where I lived, in fact. My mother lived.
Okay.
So I wanted to call. Now, I didn't want to bother. So I walk in the house. My mother's in the back. They're bending over doing something. I said, "Hello, Ma." She turned around. She got so shocked. And that was a bad thing, you know.
What year and month and year are we in?
Did I leave?
Would you say you walked into the house or what?
I came home. It was, here's 1945, Germany, 1945. It was April, and I remember Roosevelt died April 12th on my birthday, and I came home a short time after that. Here's March, April. 1945. I haven't looked at this for years. Southampton, England, here. At Port, Southampton, England, Tuesday, 23rd of May, 1945. So it was in May that we left. Here's Weimar, Germany, my journey home. Here I wrote it.
Oh.
Look what I wrote.
Wonderful.
All of this. My journey home.
May 15th, 1945.
May 15th. I left Weimar, Germany, yeah.
Would you say you were home by the end of May, or how long did it take?
They took us to Fort Jackson, South Carolina, July 11th, 1945. Anyway, I left May 15th, 1945, and we were given a month's furlough, because after that they're going to send us overseas again because we're combat-tested troops. They're going to send us to the Far East.
Huh.
Very nice, right?
Yes, wonderful.
In the meantime, when we come to South Carolina, we find out that Third Army soldiers were in the United States the whole time. Big, and there were signs all over the place. It said, welcome conquering heroes. And these fellows are so jealous of us because we got all the attention. But in the meantime, they're just like a bunch of draft dodgers. We looked at them that way, you know. Never left the States. And they gave us trouble. Anyway, while we're waiting to go away, the armistice was declared in Japan, and the war ended. So from there, we were sent home.
And then you had the month's furlough?
Had a month's furlough before that happened.
Oh, after your month's furlough, then you had to
We were supposed to go to Far East.
Okay.
But a couple of fellows went ahead of us. I was supposed to be in that group, but they switched. I was lucky because I was doing drafting work and mapping and things of that sort. It was very important work. Here is something. Someone bought a portable radio to the office this morning so that we could be with one of the historic news of the war with Japan. It says this is August 1945, 8th to 13th. Last night, after spending the evening in the U.S. Army, was telling us that the war was over. One of our warrant officer, that was the guy who told me, I told I was going to go AWOL, warrant officer. Stopped me in the street to inform this very dubious and cautious GI for a few minutes that I... Anyway, that was about when it happened, middle of August. August 13th, I have.
Middle of August.
I like these letters.
Okay, so in September is when you then came back home.
I'd say end of August.
August, you came back home.
If I would go through this, I could tell you everything, but I never looked at it since I put it together. I just put it together and let it lay here. Isn't that something?
I could write a book.
Resource, absolutely. But maybe we can copy some interesting things. Okay, what year would you say you were back home in?
1945.
Okay.
I'd say by September 1945.
Okay, you were back home and working full-time with the junior engineer?
With the Corps of Engineers in Pittsburgh.
Okay, and you were living on Hobart Street?
5833.
And do you remember any projects for that time or any?
Any project? Yes, I do. The project was for flood control of the tri-state area, especially downtown Pittsburgh and local areas along the tributary of the Allegheny-Mon River. And it also, and that controlled the flow of water down Ohio River. It was all during the 1936 flood, I didn't mention that. It was the control, it was the aftermath of the 1936 flood that they had to have this flood control process.
And they were still working on it by 1945, 1946, they were still.
Right, and then it was related work. It was dams and control of flow of water along the rivers for navigation.
Did you, you drew up the plans, you?
No, I was just one of the workers there who, I wasn't really so important there, like, just like anybody else, another engineer, you know.
How long were you there for?
How long was I there?
Mm-hmm. Ah, you have it, excellent.
Here.
Fantastic. USED?
Knight's U.S. Engineer Department. October, here we are, up here. June of 41 to 42. And then I was working on the Moon Township Airport, which is today the present airport of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
It was used for a military airport. We laid out the runways and built an airport. There was a beautiful farm there for dairy farm, and it was one of the finest in the country. But it was a good site for an airport, so they destroyed the farm and made the airport. And then when I came back, it became a civilian airport.
Okay.
And then I went to the Army in September 42. Here, I come back in October 45.
Okay.
I told you so.
Close. Okay.
And then I went back to my job in 45, and I left March 1952, because I didn't want to stay with a specialized job. I went to Patterson Emerson Comstock, 52 to 53, and then from there, the job terminated, and I got a job in the Foreign Department, Blonox, up in Blonox, 53 to 61. And I was asked to go to Howell Patterson. I went there for 2 years. Then I went back to Blonox for a very short period. And I went to Swindell Dressler. They made steel mill buildings.
Mm.
And then the city of Pittsburgh asked me to work there. I kept working. Never lost a day's work, believe it or not.
Fantastic. Tell me a little bit about the Patterson Emerson Comstock.
Patterson Emerson Comstock. I didn't get too familiar with those people. They I worked on hoppers. They made little, I'm trying to remember what they made. They had different things. All I worked on, what I can recall, is hoppers.
What are hoppers?
A hopper is for, like a big funnel for coal and different things of that sort, you know. Blonox is an interesting job. I worked on steel forms for tunnels and dams and bridges. And heavy construction work, that's what it was. You know the Square Hill Tunnel?
Yes.
The Lincoln, the Fort Pitt Tunnel?
Yes.
We had to make forms for that. The Lincoln Tunnel in New York had to make forms for that. They they dug a hole through the tunnel. They put steel in it, and then we had the form to slide in on wheels, on tracks, and they poured concrete around it. That was that job. And when it came to tunnels, or dams rather, you had to make forms so you could pour concrete in the form and keep building up until you have a dam. And piers for bridges, the same idea. Heavy construction.
Okay.
Follow what I'm saying?
Yes. Tell me about Squirrel Hill Tunnel and Fort Pitt.
Fort Pitt, there's just a couple. That's local.
Tell me what
Lincoln Tunnel was another one. Then we worked on the job down in Newport News. That was a tremendous tunnel under the water.
That's incredible. I didn't know.
See, that was interesting. And I worked on a dam. I did this myself. One of the islands down south, what's the name of it?
Yeah.
In Haiti.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I didn't go down there. One of the fellows went down instead of me. I had to stay home to do the dirty work, do the thinking. Some guy went down there. I remember I should have gone down. If a fellow did his job, they kept him at the desk. If a fellow didn't do so well,